I'm Imani Evora, and you are listening to the We Are Made podcast, a Black creative series. Stories are an invitation into both who we are and what we stand for. The traces of Black experience throughout history that has allowed us to reclaim the makings of our greatest gifts, creation. These are the stories of Black creatives and curators. Today on the We Are Made podcast, I'm joined by textile artist Aaliyah Salmon. Originally born in Orlando, Florida, she was inspired by her mother to attend SCAD for her art education. It was here that she discovered textile. And soon after graduation, Aaliyah thought it was best to take her talents to Brooklyn. But don't be mistaken, her journey held its own leaps and hurdles. But with great perseverance and a desire to move through her limitations and disabilities, she went on to land some of her greatest collaborations of her career, all during a worldwide pandemic. Introducing this week's origin story, Aaliyah Salmon.
Most important things about the girl making the work is that she's coming at it from a very unique perspective of feeling as though this is like the first time in her life where she's been respected as kind of like an immigrant's child, as a Black woman in the arts, a blind girl. Like, it just, this is the culmination of all of those different perspectives right now is what is driving the work. And I really believe that just having some background on the Afro-Caribbean immigrant experience is just like half of the battle of having the background on me. It's very personal to the work that I'm making, especially the series of work that I'm making next year for my solo show. It is completely about, I guess, the duality of living in America as, you know, Black, where people don't really assume that there's much other than Black, and then having this very rich experience of seeing the struggle from Guyana and Jamaica to here, and just like processing that that American perspective into this colorful work. I don't know. I think this, it's I think that would be the most important thing. My blindness is also very important, but I wouldn't say it's like something that most people know, unless they really like talk to me or read my interviews or things like that. But that is also, especially from an aesthetic point of view, that is why my work looks the way it does. And that would also be helpful in knowing why this person makes the work that she does.
With her mother's love and support, Aaliyah always felt safe moving forward with her dreams. Even from an early age, she never questioned if this was the right choice. She was continuously reassured that if she stayed focused on her craft, she could make it work.
I think because my mother was younger, she had more, I don't know, a very interesting perspective. Of course, she was from Guyana, came here when she was 14. So she had already been through, you know, two lifetimes, I want to say, at a very young age being here. And I think that her just like unshakable need to just like carry on and like make it work just kind of like transferred over to me as well, because it just... with everything I do, I just feel self-assured because she helped me feel self-assured, you know, like there wasn't too much focus on, you know, what I can't do, and more so like, okay, how can you make it happen? And she noticed that like a pretty early age with, you know, my want to do creative things. So she put me in dance classes. She put me in gymnastics. She put me in like a Michael's crochet class on the weekends so I could, you know, get exposed to different things. She put me in camps. She merely made sure that I was never bored and I never had a reason to be, but not necessarily in like a hovering kind of like tiger parent kind of way. It was more so like a, okay, if you say you're interested in this, like this is what we'll do. And I think it helped, especially since it was just her and I for a while. You know, having all of these resources, I guess, to expose me to different things that also helped her work and live her life. So I really commend her for making it work, because it really, you know, directly impacted how I see myself, my capabilities, and what I'm doing now. I owe her everything. She really was, I think she was the one who found the school that I went to. And I was like, yeah, okay, mom. But, you know, of course she had a direct hand in my career now by setting me on that path, by just doing the research for me and not discouraging me from viewing it as a viable option. Of course, she was nervous. I don't really think that there are any working artists in my family in the way that I'm working. I think it just wasn't possible as much as it is now, me being like the first generation here. But she never really discouraged it. She always said, okay, well, if you're going to do it, you have to do it well, you know, you don't waste your time kind of thing. And it just really, it really gave me, I don't know, the sense that I could make it happen, you know, and I'm really grateful to her for that.
In 2018, Aaliyah graduated from SCAD. She described the school to be much different from what she expected. She expected artistry, and they were more focused on creative. She also expected technique, while they were more focused on the business side. So what does she think about it all after attending? She actually appreciates it much more today than ever before.
Location definitely was like 80% of why I went. I think I intrinsically knew that going to New York or going to MICA or, you know, going really far from home probably wouldn't suit me. I think I just knew deep in my soul that I needed like to dip my toe in before I just like dive straight in. And I'm glad I knew myself enough to make that decision, because it really was like the perfect kind of place for me to start my journey. And I just couldn't have picked a better school for where I was at that time. And I don't know, I'm kind of just I'm just going to do it on blind faith person with a lot of things. But I don't know. I wouldn't say that because that sounds really irrational and really, I don't know. I'm researched and I'm knowledgeable on what I get myself into, but I also don't allow that research to cloud my expectations of what it is. Like I truly wanted to go in with no expectations and see how it would end up for myself, because I knew something out of there would be for me. And it actually took me about 2 years to really, you know, feel solidified in what I was doing. I'd been working my way towards it just subconsciously anyways, but I feeling assured that like, okay, this is viable, this is the path, and this is what I'm going to do, took until maybe junior year. And I think that's just the nature of the school. One thing I find common among alumni is that they really kicked it into high gear, like junior, senior year, because there's so much that needs to be done before you really land on what you're doing. And just the nature of 3 semesters per year minimum is just really intense. So I didn't have a lot of time to figure it out. I kind of had to do a lot of things on the fly, and I'm glad that it's worked out so far, but I'm not afraid to do that if I feel like it's going to be worthwhile. And that was very much my attitude at SCAD. I loved the school for what it was. I think it really opened my eyes to a lot of possibilities. They're definitely more of a creative school as opposed to an art school. So there was a lot of training around business. There was a lot of training around, you know, marketing yourself. There was a lot more to it than like a traditional art school. So I do feel as though, you know, at this stage in my life, I would seek out a more traditional fine art practice or something along those lines. But for where I was at the time and for how it's helped me, you know, brand myself, market myself, you know, even do all of this, I think SCAD was perfect for the time. And I want to say that in my heart of hearts, I just knew it would all work out, but I really didn't. I kind of, there were a lot of times during my experience where I was like, is this it? Is this really, you know, all that it's cracked up to be? I think it's really easy to not believe in the plan once you're in the middle of it. But it's been, 6 years since I started at SCAD, graduated in 2018, and I feel like I'm reaping the benefits of it a lot more in this stage of my life.
Right out of college, Aaliyah was scouted. Yet with a degree, great skills, and determination, she faced conditions that began to reshape not only who she was, but the art she wanted to make. But she didn't give up there. New York was always a part of the plan, always where she knew she would end up. The use of clear discernment was her only option when it came to moving forward.
I firmly believe that you just know some things are going to happen in your life. And I always knew I was going to be an artist in New York. I knew that from small. I knew it. I was making all the choices in my life to do that for myself. And so coming here in 2018, it almost felt like I had a birthright to be here. And I really didn't understand that, you know, things are just so different here. And as many times that I visited, because I had family up here, I used to come here, you know, my best friend at the time, when I moved here, she let me stay in her apartment and things like that. And she'd been living here for like 2 years before me. And so I felt as though I had the in on what this experience would be like. And it was completely different from anything that I expected, for better or for worse. And I just felt like I got slapped up for the first like 2 years being here. And it really shook me for a while. And I think as an artist, it really humbled me, because it's not like I felt like I was hot shit when I left school, but I felt like I was doing something. A couple months after graduation, Urban Outfitters was trying to scout me for their home department to like work in Philadelphia and design for them. And I really thought that things would just kind of fall into place. Like, oh, I graduated, I have my degree, a job will come, I'm going to be great, all instant success. And it just really didn't end up that way. And it took me about a year to really find my confidence after moving here, because of course I'm not funded by parents. I went to school on loans. Like, it's such a different financial situation than a lot of the people I knew up here had, you know. Like, I was squatting in my friend at the time, the apartment that her parents paid for in Gramercy. You know what I mean? Like, it couldn't have been such a stark difference from my reality to the reality I was like trying to keep up with. And it took, you know, a year of consistent work, finding myself not touching my art at all, to really feel as though like, okay, I feel like I can own my New York experience again, now that I feel like the dizziness of it all has worn off, because it's such a sensory overload situation when you come up here. Even if you know what to expect, it just, you're miserable, you know? And unless you have like someone bankrolling you this whole time, it's like you're running on a deficit of like time, emotional capacity, just like energy, just at all points here. And it took me so long to get used to it, that like my art changed, my perspective changed. I feel like I, you know, really had to let go of a lot of like childlike tendencies that I had in making my work. And I had to really be aggressive. And I had to like claw and scrape and, you know, at my barista job, be like, hey, do you happen to know anyone with a creative, you know, any email I can send? And just like a buildup of doing that over a year landed me my first art gig in 2019. And then that led to another thing, and that led to another thing, and that led to some people knowing, oh, she does this. And it's just kind of snowballed after, you know, the pure hunger and want for it, and it just not happening, that it kind of just released, you know, a do or die sensibility in me that I now carry in my work as well. And I just, like, I have a very much a fuck it, we'll do it live kind of attitude about everything now. And it's just purely from being in New York and having to advocate for myself and, you know, be my biggest fan first before anyone here takes me seriously. And just having that kind of self-confidence, because the city just like beat the shit out of me for so long. And now I'm finally feeling a hug from the city again, like just feeling like, okay, this is the right move. This was the right path. Like, after being here for 4 years now, it's just so different. And my work is so much more joyful now that I feel comfortable. My work is so much more focused on bigger ideas, because I have the comfort and the stability to be able to like research and be able to like foster a creative practice that I always wanted to have up here. It's, you know, it's night and day now, but I really, really needed the kick in the ass that Brooklyn gave me in that first year to be able to be where I am now. Like, the struggle was so necessary for the come up.
As her work began to grow, as did she, Aaliyah began to shift her relationship with color and began to use more of its raw expressions within her work. Removing the use of black from her pieces helped her support the new stories and experiences she wanted to share, pushing her to continue growing her relationship with color theory.
So my relationship with color is arguably the most important relationship I have in this life. It is the guiding force behind a lot of what I do, and has been for so long that I still am trying to figure out why, you know, color is this monolith in my life. Like, it feels like the one thing that I can depend on at all points, especially with my blindness and not really being able to feel like I have a grasp on perspective or, you know, a lot of technical drawing capabilities. I have always leaned into color. as the best way to communicate what I'm trying to say. And color theory just comes so naturally to me. Like I used to, my mom, she always splurged on like the biggest packs, like Crayolas for me. And I would, in my free time, I was an only child clearly, but I would dump out my crayons and just reorganize them by color for fun. Like it's just always been something that is just so important to me that it, I think it just really is evident in my work that I love color. And I think the love for color theory is at the heart of why I got rid of like a lot of black, and just the want to embrace a more painterly way of mixing color with yarn, like an oil painter would, is the focus of the color theory in my studio right now. I, especially with my two recent like large pieces, I don't know, there's just something about being able to manipulate solid colors, especially in such a static form like yarn is. You can't really mix it. You have to physically, you know, it's just not the same as paint. Just being able to have like a mastery of that and communicate like a complex color palette is like the name of my game here. And I think that it's almost been like a mask for me to cover up the fact that like things look really far and close to me because of my blindness that like I can't really compensate for in like a drawing way. So I'm going to add like complex shading and color palettes to maybe distract you from it, but it's not a distraction because it's really what I'm interested in. You know, it, and I felt like a long time I was compensating for something, but now I'm leaning directly into it and embracing it with, you know, my whole heart because I love it so much. And the need for, you know, not using black didn't really come out of anything like intentional. I think I just wanted to be able to say what I was saying in maybe 2-3 different ways. Maybe black wasn't the way, you know, I also don't want to pigeonhole myself by saying I'll never use black because I 100% will at some point. But for this stage of where I am, especially with the materials that I'm using, I really feel like black would be way too harsh to communicate what I'm trying to communicate in these pieces. You know, like I love being black. I love the color black, but I just don't know if I want black in my work right now. You know, it feels too heavy. It feels too solid. It doesn't move the same way. Like these colors, they feel like they have emotions to me. And I really just want them. I want this work, even if it's a heavy subject matter, to look and feel as light and joyful as possible. And I don't know if black is the way. And I don't know, this is an ongoing like thing in my studio about the color theory and how it's, you know, helping me or hurting me and what I'm trying to say. But I don't know. I never realized that the taking out of black would resonate with so many people, because a lot of people have said they really like that in the work. It looks less graphic or it looks more graphic because of that. And I'm still trying to figure out how it, you know, how it will stay in my studio and my work for a long time. But for right now, it just feels right playing with as many different hues of these lighter colors as I can to communicate the message.
The one thing that each of us hold in common is humancy. We each at some point in our lives have loved, hated, questioned, persuaded, dreamed, fallen, discouraged, evolved, and lived. We've each had an opportunity to experience. So what do we do with our insecurities? How or when do we acknowledge their place in our lives and their effects on our work? Aaliyah goes on to share her own reality and how she manages her greatest insecurity.
100% my need for reassurance. And I say that because like I don't need a lot of reassurance from like the masses, but I have just always, I think the nature of being a young black girl who is making work that people don't really understand from like a young age, I think has always led me to seek out some type of validation, whether that be from an institution, whether that be from like a superior, like a teacher, professor or something. I think that's my biggest Achilles heel, is that I need it sometimes from certain people. And the worst part is like, I don't give two fucks about like the opinions and, you know, what people have to say if they don't have the context to understand what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? If they can't understand the nuance or the intersections of where I'm placed to be making this work, then I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to feel as though I have to explain something to you to get me. I want you to just get it. And though the people who get it are the people who I am thirsty for the validation for. And that's my worst problem. And I think my getting older and just every day now, just getting better and just like spending more time on this, I the need for that is less and less. But I would say my biggest, you know, art insecurity is just feeling as though like people are just like, yeah, that's great, Aaliyah. And it's not actually great. You know, I'm so worried about that. So I always feel like I'm checking in, like, are you sure this is good? Like, what do you, whenever I have any sort of meeting with anyone and, you know, I have to deliver work or something, my first question is, what do you hate about it? Give me the harshest critique that you can. You know, like, I need to figure out what's not working so I can make it work for my own, not even ego, just for my own sense of, I need it. I need it. I don't know. I really am trying to work through it with myself. The more I'm doing this and the more I realize, like, I know more than I give myself credit for, but it just, there's something about it. It may be because my parents aren't artists and I don't really have the kind of like, I never really had growing up the kind of sounding board to bounce my creative ideas off of. And so they've all just been stewing in me. So I can't really tell if they're good. Especially if, you know, I'm my own judge, like, who am I to say that that's a good idea? And even if it is, I feel like I need to run it by 2 to 3 people I respect before I can firmly say this is a great idea. And I'm getting better at that now, but I think until maybe like the last like 2 months, I was like super just shaky on like, oof, am I doing the damn thing? Like, am I not, you know? And I don't know. I recently had a life-changing project come into my lap that I finished like last week, and like the financial stability from that and just the type of project it was has given me so much confidence. I can't say much because I'm under NDA, but long story short, one of America's favorite retailers will have a cardboard cutout of me in their stores, babe. And just knowing that they love my work and that they wanted to invest that kind of capital into me and continue to invest in me over this next year has given me a world of confidence. And I hate that I needed a cosign from like a very capitalistic entity to make me feel as though my work is valid. But because I am just here by myself in my little studio, not really, you know, bouncing these ideas off of many people, I really feel like some things like that, when it's a big win, really makes me feel as though like, okay, I'm it. Like, I'm doing it. It's just like, it's helped me feel a little less insecure, you know? And I wouldn't say that I'm very insecure about a lot of things, but I'm insecure about, am I delivering the message that I'm trying to deliver right now? And it's just, it's hard when you have so many things you want to do and so many things you're trying to say that it's, you really don't know if what you're saying is coherent to anyone. Even what I'm saying right now, it's like I feel like I'm trying to say 5 things at once, and I'm trying to make it coherent, and hopefully the viewers and whoever else is listening thinks it's coherent. But I am just always checking in with myself like that. Like, am I making sense? Like, is this the right way? Do I feel confident about this? Is this it? You know? And my goal for the next 5 years is to just not think about any of that anymore. And I'm working towards it, but I'm, you know, admittedly, it's still a work in progress. And even like, I've done now more interviews than I've ever thought I would ever do in my life. Like, this is the most interest anyone's ever had in me this year. And, you know, with every passing thing, like, I'm like, okay, it's like chipping away at that like voice of insecurity, but it's still always going to be there. And I think it's helpful to just remember that as easily as they praise you, they could easily critique you, and to just want the balance of both at all points instead of the high praise at all points. Like, just keeping that in mind that it's necessary to keep balance in all things, you know, and trying to feel balanced in like my insecurities and remember like, okay, there's a root of that. And it's just the want for validation, and that's not a bad thing. And it's just something you have to work for, the balance of being, you know, like, I'm it, like, I'm this, like, I don't need to worry. Just like having those two, like, I guess like dueling like flames inside of you is like really what keeps my ego at bay and just kind of keeps, you know, me on my toes, but I don't know. I'm always trying to find a route. I'm always, you know, trying to figure myself out before I even know what I'm trying to figure out. And I think I'm just really good at like hiding a lot of those battles that I face within myself, but it's very much a part of me. And I don't know if I'll ever get rid of it, but I'm chipping away at it little by little with like things like this and, you know, projects. And I don't know, I'm trying to make it happen, but it's hard sometimes, you know?
No matter what Aaliyah has been through, her career has always served as her position of focus. She really cares, not only about the colors, the look, the feel of her creations, but about the intention behind it. Everything, and I mean everything, begins with love first.
I don't know. I think this goes back, of course, to the previous conversation of wanting to be seen. I truly, especially now at this age and this point in my life, I want people, when they see my work, to understand that I'm coming at this with so much intention and so much genuine love for what I'm doing that it is impossible to ignore. I want the just pure like presence of my work to be love. And I want it to be so evident and so just like, I want it to be the first thing that you notice is that the person who made this loves what they are doing. And I don't know. I want that to be above theory and above, you know, metaphor, above color theory. I want the point to be, love is the point. Like I want that to be the point. And I think with the body of work that I'm making, it is a little bit more rooted in like metaphor and symbolism and just, you know, collage and things like that. It's really hard to, I think it's easy to, you know, just the technical ability just to, you know, think like, oh, this is good work just because it's complicated looking. But I want the work to be good because it's human, you know? And I above all else, I just want Black pain, Black joy, Black experience, Black, you know, just everything about my Black experience and who I am as a Black artist to be at the center of what I'm doing, but not so much that it is, you know, the only thing about the piece. Like I want there to be 4 to 5 elements about the piece that you walk away from. But the first one is joy and love. And the second one is intention, you know? And I think about it all day long. Like how can I convey, you know, all of this like energy that I have into like these very static pieces, you know? And it's just, I don't know, I'm figuring it out every day, but I just want it to be seen and received that way. And even if it's not, if I know that that's what's going into the piece, that's enough for me. You know, I just, it's going to be an ongoing thing in my lifetime, figuring out how to convey all of those things. But I really feel like I'm scratching the surface now with some of my work on how I can be that kind of artist. And I hope this answers the question like appropriately, but I don't know. I would say as the shorthand for all of it, love is what I want people to take away from anything that they're looking at from Aaliyah Salmon.
And in closing, advice for fellow Black creatives.
Ooh, let's do this in like a list format. Number one, have a website where people can reach you. And I know that it feels super classist to not be able to, you know, just pop up on Instagram and have that be that. For a long time, I was just on Instagram. And then I realized as much as I take myself seriously, the industry will not take you seriously unless you have some of these benchmarks and some of these things that make you look professional. And I could go on a tangent about how professionalism is rooted in, and you know, white supremacy. However, the game that we are playing, we have to engage. And I am engaging by making sure I have a website. I would recommend that to every Black creative, little Squarespace, Ting, like anything that you can put out there that just has a landing page for people to look you up on Google and find you other outside of a Facebook entity is a game changer. Also having like an online portfolio of some kind that's not attached to Instagram, I would say, like email skills. I sometimes like proofread my friends, you know, emails and stuff that they send out to places because, you know, you just, my mother as much of a complex as it gave me, it's like, she always told me like, you have to be 2 steps ahead just to even be a half step behind them. And I just like, I carry that in everything I do to make sure that these people take me seriously. And that is what I want to communicate to all Black creatives, is that like, you don't have to, like, of course, like you can do what you want, but this is what's worked for me, is just like making sure that like my website is set up. You can reach me, you can find me, you can do all of this. And so that like, I look as fleshed out and professional as I can be, even though I'm not, you know what I mean? And I think because there are so few Black creatives, of course, not as much anymore, but when I was in school, there were so few Black creatives who had that kind of visibility and that kind of like power, that I felt like I had to be so polished and so ready and so together to even get them to look at me. And so maybe my opinion on that is like outdated, but I firmly believe in having like a deck of stuff that you can hand out to people if they are interested in you, like a business card, having your website, all of that is so important, because if you look together, they will think you're together and they will be more likely to hire you. And also, it's not to compromise your vision for, especially for, you know, things where they're asking you to bring your art to the table, you know, don't make it less Black, like make it as Black as you can. You know what I mean? Like lean into that in your art, because it, I feel as though like we, I don't know. I just don't feel like Black creatives have to be palatable anymore. You know what I mean? In that way with their art, the age for that is done. You know what I mean? Be palatable in your LinkedIn, but don't be palatable in your art. And I guess the last piece of advice is just really remember that a lot of people at the top are not as knowledgeable as you think that they are. And a lot of things are nepotism. A lot of things are just, you know, being in the white space at the white time. Like it's just, you know what I mean? Like there are so many things put up in place to make people like me feel as though we're less competent. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the insight. When in fact, every Black creative that I know up here has been like a year or two ahead of the curve. And I think communicate to every Black creative that could be listening, is that you are so much more on trend, like knowledgeable, on top of it, like prepared for this market than you will give yourself credit for. And it's because there's so many people and institutions designed to make you feel like it's a labyrinth to kind of wade through and like figure out, but it really is as cut and dry as like some people at the top don't even use Photoshop anymore and they just export some things like that. You know, like you just have to block out a lot of insecurity about whether or not I'm qualified to be in this space. And I would say that's the advice that I wish somebody would have told me.
We Are Made Studios is a gathering place for Black voices, stories, and their work, produced and edited by We Are Made Radio.